Thank the Lord this morning for His love and His blessings. Appreciate the song. Ask an interest in your prayers as we look into the Word of God, the Scripture. You might want to check that, see if that's working. The message that the Lord has put on my heart this morning, it's been on my heart for quite a while, and it may be off the beaten path a little bit. I don't remember necessarily hearing a specific message on this subject, but the Lord has given it to me multiple times. It's on the board here. But I'd like to share with you a little bit about the subject of rejection today. And the message this morning is not going to be a complete treatise on the subject, all right? But my prayer is that even when you all leave here today, that the Spirit of God would stimulate your thoughts. Maybe some of you can have conversations on your way home today. But I would that the Lord would, it would accomplish His purpose. I just share what the Lord put on my heart. I'd like to begin in the book of John chapter 1 and verse 11. Very familiar passage speaking about Jesus. John 1 verse 11. It said, He came unto His own. Jesus came unto His own, and His own, what? Received Him not. Do you know what that was saying? They rejected Him. Jesus came to His own people, and they rejected Him. In His own land, to His own people, to His own family. Can you imagine what it must have felt like? And I said feel because Jesus had feelings. He was a man. Yes, He was 100% divine, but He was also 100% flesh. And He had feelings and He had emotions. And to have His brothers, it's like, you're just my brother. You're nothing special. And to have them reject Him and who He was. Jesus left heaven to come to earth, and He experienced rejection. They did not accept that He was the Messiah. In other words, they did not value who He really was. That has a lot to do with what rejection is. Rejection is when you are not valued for who you really are. Rejection, by definition, is the act of being refused or dismissed or excluded by another person or group. In other words, you're not accepted. Have you all ever been rejected? Have you ever experienced rejection for some reason or another? If you have been rejected before, you are not the first and you will not be the last. And Jesus understood what it felt like and what it was like to be rejected. He was affected by it. In the book of Isaiah chapter 53, in the third verse, another very familiar passage of Scripture, speaking about Jesus, it said, He is despised and what? Rejected. You see, people today, there are individuals, there are families, there are races, there are groups of people that talk about we are a rejected person, a rejected people. We are not accepted. We are not included. But see, Jesus also was rejected. And then it said He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. We did not esteem Him. We rejected Him. Have not we all been there where we rejected the Lord? And it said, Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Jesus knew what it was like to suffer. He knew what it was like to be rejected. And how often Jesus Himself spoke about looking over Jerusalem. He said, How often I would have gathered you in. As a hen gathereth her chicks, but what? but you would not. In other words, I was there and I wanted to comfort you. I wanted to be there for you, and you would not. In other words, you rejected me. You rejected the very comfort that I could have given you, the very strength that I could have been. He would have added value to their lives. You know, this morning, people that reject Christ are rejecting something that would add value to their lives. But Jesus understood what it meant to be rejected. So when we say Jesus knows, He knows how you feel if you've ever been rejected. Jesus does really understand it. He knows. Some people are sensitive, and might I say overly sensitive to rejection. Again, I left my phone down there, but some people feel like they're rejected when they send a text. You all know where I'm going. They send a text and they're sitting there waiting for a response, and they don't get a response in 5 minutes. I've been rejected. That's being overly sensitive, okay? But when you text again and a week goes by, and then another week, and you call and you try to reach out and no response, that is rejection of some sort or another. For some people, it's just their laziness that they didn't respond, and it might not really be meant real personal. For other people, yes, they're not valuing relationship, and so they don't reach out. They don't communicate because they don't place value on a relationship with you. That is rejection. Excluding you. Rejection is being excluded. That's one of the reasons why, and it wasn't that I was the last one picked for teams, but it's one of the reasons I don't like it, even when there's a group of people and you choose a captain and you pick who you want to be on your team, because I know someone is going to be last. And you know what that means? Maybe you don't want to think about what that means. But someone is going to feel bad. I mean, as I was meditating, I thought of one of the girls that I went to school with in elementary school, probably from first grade, and I think we graduated together. And I just came to my mind, she was, and I still remember her name. I don't think she'd ever listen to this message. I wish she would. But I thought about her, and I still remember her first and last name. And I thought, you know, when we used to choose teams, she probably was the last person chosen every single time. She'd come around, it was just kind of, people just wouldn't give her a lot of value. That's sad to me. Because everyone is worthy of love. Everyone is worthy of showing value to. And when you are not shown value to, it doesn't feel good, does it? When you are truly rejected, I'm not talking, again, please don't take this too far. I'm not talking about wearing your feelings on your sleeve and that just no one likes me and everybody's rejecting me. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. But I'm talking about when someone truly has rejected you and for who and what you are and does not value relationship. Well, so where does rejection come from in our society? It can come from a lot of quarters. There's rejection within families. And you know, rejection in family hurts deeper than if I go to the store and someone devalues me and I can tell they reject me for who I am and what I stand for, whether it's because of my family or my belief system or the color of my skin, and they reject me, it's like, okay, that's not right, but you know, I can get over it. But when you are rejected by family, it hurts. And there's pain associated with it. In-laws. You know, there can be rejection between families. And there can be rejection in marriages. Husbands and wives can be living under the same roof. And there can be rejection, or I'm excluding you from my life. In other words, I'm not showing value to who you are as a person. It can happen in all kinds of relationships. There can be rejection. It can happen at work, at school. And do you know that it can happen among people that come? I know church is something inside, but it can happen in chapels and in fellowships. People can feel rejected. I'm not accepted. I come among this body of people to worship, and there's just this barrier. Have you ever had someone look down their nose at you spiritually? You know, kind of on a self-righteous pedestal and just kind of... I watched this just the other day. We talked about this. And folks, I want to say be careful. Because the opposite of rejection is what? Acceptance. God wants us to be a people of acceptance. Not accepting sin. Not accepting wrong. But accepting that everyone is valuable in the eyes of God. And as children of God, even people that are living in gross sin need someone to love them and show them that they care. It doesn't mean I am endorsing your sinful life. It doesn't mean I agree with what you're doing, but I still love you and I value you as a creation of God. And so, you know, I think sometimes holiness people, and especially, well, Lord help the sisters, you watch when you come and meet people that are dressed kind of like you are, and you watch this up and down look. You all know what I'm talking about? You can meet people in town, and you can just see people that go to church, and you can see they're kind of measuring people they meet. And it's not always with acceptance. It's almost like, okay, let's see what are their standards. It's kind of like, someone told me recently, actually, okay, this was Wednesday night. I hope this is all right. Sister Judy, now I'm naming it out. I'm going to be specific here. So this was years ago, but do you know, realize this happened. Some of the girls we were talking about, some of the girls had made similar dresses, okay? And so a while back at Monarch, so I hope I'm not stepping in deep waters here, all right. So Sister Judy was sharing that some of them did that many years ago. It was a few years back. And so some of the girls, then talking about when they were young people, had made some dresses, and someone walked by, and they were standing behind a serving line, said, oh, those are really pretty dresses. Well, it's something about if they're long enough, because they were behind so the lady couldn't see them. Why even say something like that? It was like, you know, I'm complimenting you, but if your dresses are long enough. You see, that right there puts up a barrier, doesn't it? The Lord doesn't want us to be like that, folks. The Lord wants us to be loving and kind and thoughtful. But when someone starts to feel rejected, it's hurtful. And the Lord wants, among God's people, us to be a people of love, people of truth. So what are things that people are rejected over? Now, there's a lot of things people can do to cause someone to reject them. If every time someone comes around and they slap you on the face, are you just going to be there to get in their face every time you see them? You know, if someone hit me every time I saw them when I saw them coming, I think I'd be taking a step back. And that's understandable. That is, it's not that you're not there to forgive, but as long as you're hitting me, I'm going to have to take a step back here. Okay? There's a door open. Anytime, and saints, here's something important. Anytime you have to draw lines in relationships, always leave a door open for reconciliation. Okay? I told them in Sunday school this morning, at times the importance of communication, but when you can't communicate, don't cut the phone lines. I was talking about before we had self-service. Don't cut the phone lines, because as long as a line exists, there's potential for restoration of communication. So let's always leave that door open. But there are causes in our society that people have been rejected, sometimes over gender. Maybe if you're female, you can feel rejected. You're not accepted. Color of skin. Feel rejection because of the color of skin. And you know that we've watched it even when we're in Africa with people coming in from various tribes, listening to the children. and watching and listening to what they say, and even there's a little bit of division against lightness and darkness, and you're from the bush, and you're from, and we've observed these things happening even from people within a similar culture. It doesn't feel good to be rejected. Nationality, what country you're from. What about your last name? You're one of those Sarls. All right, well, that's all I need to know. In other words, I don't even need to know you. And I just stepped on a lot of toes here this morning. I don't even need to know you, but because of your family, do you realize that doesn't feel fair, does it? You're judging me because of my family, or judging me because of my looks or lack of them. You're judging me on the color of my skin. Folks, as children of God, that should never be among us. We should show love and acceptance and care. And when someone is rejected, it's a very painful experience. It causes anxiety, causes sadness, it can cause anger for some, it can cause depression that's not easily gotten over. Because I've been rejected. I haven't been accepted. So we want to be careful if you ever find yourself in a place of being rejected, be careful of overgeneralizing. I was in a place one time, and I was one of the only, I'll just say this, I was only of the only Caucasian, one of the few Caucasians in this place. And I was there for worship, and the pastor did not say one word to me while I was there. I was there ministering, I was there helping, and I watched him just talking to other people and everybody else, and not one time did they come and make me feel welcome. And it would have been very easy for me to say, well, I think it's because I'm white. I think it's because I'm white that they're doing this. But you know, I came to the conclusion, I don't think that's what it is. I really think it was just some thoughtlessness. I think it was just oversight. I mean, I might not have been, obviously I wasn't their bosom buddy, but I don't think it was intentional. But do you realize I could have gone away from there and have resentment? And just let something build and started generalizing. Well, everybody in that congregation, they don't want me to come. Well, I know that's not the case. But do you realize that when you've been rejected by one person, there is a danger of seeing everybody through those lens of rejection? So, and that happens with families. It happens in if one family member is not treated you right, rejected you, pretty soon you'll look at the whole family and say, nobody likes me, nobody wants me there. You can look at it among who you fellowship with. If one person hasn't treated you right and you feel like they've rejected you, pretty soon I say, well, Brother Randy, he didn't treat me right. He rejected me. And then every time I talk to one of you, I will be judging you through the lens of my hurt at being rejected by Brother Randy, and then I will start thinking all of you are rejecting me too. This is very natural. This happens very frequently, that when someone has been hurt, they start judging and assessing others through that pain that they have. So we need to understand that people that have been rejected are hurt people. And we want to go the extra mile sometimes to maybe convey love and care and acceptance. At the same time, when we are the recipients of rejection, Lord, help us to be careful about overgeneralizing. I trust that that's clear this morning. You remember what I said at the beginning of the message? There's a lot that I'm not saying this morning. So my prayer is that the Lord will just stir some things in your hearts, in your minds, as we consider this subject. One of the things that rejection does, it affects people's identity. People can become consumed with self-doubt. If I've experienced rejection in a relationship, if my wife has rejected me, if my parents have rejected me, I will start feeling like I am really not very valuable. I'm really not worth very much. I've been rejected. And so my life can become defined by rejection of maybe one or two people because I'm always questioning myself. And I'm questioning really who I am. And I'm not recognizing that I do have value. One of the sad realities about rejection in a broken home, and a lot of times children in broken homes, they won't openly acknowledge it, but the statistics are there, that many times when mom and dad are not getting along, children take upon themselves a responsibility of that, and they feel like it's their fault. And they internalize that. And then if mom and dad break apart and maybe they divorce, the children, many times in broken homes, children internalize the guilt and they struggle with personal self-esteem. And they feel like, well, it's my fault that mom and dad are not together now. I've seen that, and all you have to do is do a little research. It's very common, seen this for years. And it's one of the sad realities. But when someone has been rejected or feels rejected, they need a lot of love. They need a lot of understanding. And they need a lot of care. There is a place this morning for people that have been rejected. There is a place of healing in the Lord. Jesus said over in Luke, and I know it has so far broader implications and ramifications. But in the fourth chapter of Luke, in the 18th verse, when Jesus stood up and he read from the prophet Isaiah, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. He has sent me to preach deliverance to the captive, recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." I just want to say that there is hope beyond rejection. For individuals, for groups of people, where there has been a history of rejection, there is a place, if we will open up our heart, for healing. It does not always happen overnight. It does not always happen with one trip to the altar, but there is a place of healing and restoration in the Lord. Because part of what will help that healing is to begin to recognize that we are all creations of God. So maybe I have been rejected and I've experienced rejection, and I have. Most people have. If you've lived a long life, there have been a situation or people that you can say there's been rejection there. But Jesus said, even the hair of your head are what? Are numbered. Fear not ye therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So when we begin questioning my identity and I don't feel like I'm worth anything, and maybe rejection, especially when it's been repeated, causes us to start feeling like I'm just worthless. I want to remind us that Jesus said, you're of value. You are worthy of love this morning. Each and every one of you are worthy of love. And where there have been broken relationships and people feel like I'm just not worth anything, I'm just not good enough to be loved, I want you to know that God values you. You are worthy of love, not only of God, but you're worthy of love from us as well. And as God's people, we are to be testaments of the acceptance and the love of God. And it was interesting to note that Jesus, in Matthew 21, verse 42, Jesus said, "Did you ever read in the scripture the stone which the builders what?" Okay, so the builders rejected the stone. Did you read what happened to that stone? What happened to it? It became the head of the corner. God took what others had rejected, and he knew the value of it, and it became the head of the corner. Folks, God is not done with you yet. Where there has been rejection of men, God still knows your value. And I want to encourage you, it doesn't matter what race you are, it doesn't matter what family you come from, what your background, what your socioeconomic status is, it doesn't matter. Here's another one. Doesn't matter how you look. Do you know sometimes people that are tall may kind of look down on those of us or some that are shorter? My question is, what did you have to do with your height? What did you have to do with what you think are your good looks? What did you have to do with it? Nothing. Do you see where some people in society, they get their clicks and they get in a lot of these things, like, what did you have to do with it? You see, among God's people, we're all children of God, are we not? We're not to segregate, we're not to separate ourselves over these things, but we are to have love and acceptance. We are all children of God. Thank the Lord for that. Well, sometimes people need to reframe the situation in rejection and recognize that it might not even actually be you when someone actually has acted like they're rejecting you. Do you know what hurt people do? They hurt people. People that have been rejected many times do what? Reject people. Sometimes, and here's the irony, saints, that sometimes someone feels rejection and the person that they feel rejected by is feeling like they are being rejected by the other party. So now we have two people and both of them are feeling rejected by one another. Do you know the Lord wants all of us to do what we can to break those barriers down through love and kindness and communication, because that can help repair breaches that the enemy would like to drive, wedges that the enemy would like to drive in families, in congregations, among God's people. Enemy wants everyone. This is for each one of you individually. The enemy would like you to feel isolated from this congregation. You're kind of the odd one out. You know, everybody else, they are doing this, or in like they're the in crowd and I'm the out crowd. Who's really in anyway? But do you see how the devil can work in our minds? I'm not really integral to the congregation. Folks, each and every one of you are important to the body of Christ and to this congregation. And the enemy wants people to feel isolated. Sometimes we need to do more listening to one another and understand how someone feels. Many times there's misunderstandings that happen in families and congregations. And love can bridge a lot of gaps. Love can bridge a lot of gaps. I want to encourage us to seek, and I'm going to try to. I didn't really want a part two. I didn't feel a burden necessarily for part two. Sometimes people reject others out of fear and insecurity. If I come among people, what it might be family, might be my in-laws, it might be a congregation, and because of my insecurity, my own insecurity, I might feel like I'm rejected, but really it's from my own insecurity. Or I might act like I'm rejecting you, and it has nothing to do with you. It has a lot to do with me. It has that I'm struggling with something. I'm occupied, and you say something, and I don't answer, and it's like, oh, he ignored me. It's like, I'm sorry, I was preoccupied. My mind was somewhere else. Or when you're going through a difficult time, have you ever kind of zoned out in certain areas of life, and you didn't mean to be rude, and it wasn't meant, weren't trying to reject someone, but that's how it came across. See, mutual understanding is really important, and sometimes we people feel rejected, or they are rejecting out of these insecurities, and it's not always out of malice. It's not always out of malice. If we have treated someone unfairly, do you know what we need to do? Seek for forgiveness. And Healing begins with humility. Healing begins with humility. I'd like to just, if you all will be so kind to give me a little bit more time this morning. Don't reject me, please. Someone brought to my attention recently some conversations that had taken place among some that had left the church, okay? And some of them were talking, and they felt like that when they came back around God's people, they felt like people were rejecting them. This was on social media, so it's fair game, right? Is there public? But I want to address it. And some of them, and I've had people share with me personally, actually just last week, things that are said sometimes by people that would tend to isolate and cause someone to feel rejected. I just want to say very openly and publicly this morning, I am very sorry. Not that I can apologize for anything anybody else has ever done, because I can't. But I am sorry for those that have experienced hurts from being in church fellowships and groups and what people have done. Do you know, saints are people too, and sometimes they mean well and they say things that they shouldn't, and it's hurtful. And sometimes people say things, and yeah, they should have known better, but they still did it. I'm sorry for those hurts that have been caused. And for those that have left, and they come back and they just feel this sense of rejection, I have a question for you. There were some disciples that walked away from Jesus. You remember that? They didn't accept what he had to teach, and they walked away with him. Who rejected who? Do you realize they were rejecting Jesus? So then if someone, here's kind of the irony of the situation. If someone says, I don't want to worship with you all, and I don't want to live this way, I don't want to serve this way, and I'm going somewhere else, did not they reject you? That hurts, doesn't it? It hurts me when people walk away. It hurts me when people stop coming to service. It hurts me very deeply. And yet, they were the ones that rejected. But when they come back, maybe even as a visitor, do you know, I want to be there to show them I love you, I care about you, I value you, I miss you. Do you know that's, as a God's people, we should be the ones going the extra mile? When it's easy for people to leave, it kind of puts someone in a no-win situation. They were the ones that walked away saying, I don't want what you have to offer, and that hurts. But on the other hand, if they come back as a visitor, we should be the bigger people in Christ, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we be the ones seeking the grace to be the ones to go the extra mile because we want them to know we genuinely love you and we genuinely care about you? And so you see, then both can feel rejected. They feel like they come around and there's kind of this stiltedness and there's kind of this tension. And it really happened because you left. And sometimes people don't know how to act. And so the people that are coming back to visit, I'm glad they're here. Whether they stay or not, I'm glad they're here. I don't want them to feel rejection from me. But I also don't like to feel rejected either. But see, both parties can start feeling rejection. So what we can do is say, Lord, help me. Help me to have the love and the kindness and the forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There are people that are going to hurt you in life. Forgive them. It doesn't matter how systemic the rejection might be. Jesus has taught us to forgive, whether it's my parents, my brother and sister, my wife, my children, the congregation, people in society. God has called us to a higher standard. Forgive those that have mistreated you. Show them love and be kind to everyone. And my heart goes out when people suffer rejection. And so as we bring the message to a close this morning, if you have been rejected, the Lord wants to help you with that. The Lord wants to bring healing. The Lord doesn't want you to have to live under that umbrella and let that rejection define who you are in life. But on the other side of it is that if we've been rejected, we need to forgive. And let us also be cognizant of those that might be feeling rejected around us. You know, I remember, here's a little marital advice, okay? I got this as a young man. My dad told us as boys, he said, sons, he said, sometimes you'll ask your wife, what's wrong? She'll say nothing. And you could just tell something's not quite right. He said, what's wrong? Oh, nothing. He said, sometimes what they need is you just to go up and give them a hug. In other words, maybe nothing happened, but they just need that assurance that you're accepted and that you're cared for and you're loved. All right, brethren, you can file that one away. But your wives might not want you to file it too far back in the cabinet. But sometimes it's just an issue of showing, I accept you. I accept you. There's so much more that could be said. But I trust the Lord will stir up our minds this morning on this subject, and the Lord would help us, no matter how people treat us, that we would have the love and forgiveness for them in our lives, and where you see there's been rejection and gaps, that we can do what we can to bridge those gaps. Amen.